Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Malik Hoff, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Pitcher's duel. Is that it?
Yep.
Greet Ohtani with
duel.
There you go.
D-U-E-L.
Duel. Okay. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Did you think I meant D-U-A-L?
I didn't think you meant that way,
oh,
but I think
you were helping people.
Yeah, I was just helping out.
Yeah. I know what a duel is.
I know you do.
I will throw my glove at your feet.
You're a very good speller. You have a very good command of the language, and that was not for your benefit. Or it's almost like a habit, isn't it, in your head?
Yes.
You say you hear things, and you kind of make sure that you have them correctly ordered in your brain. So that was when I hear duel, I want to make sure that I'm not thinking duality, you know, as in a pair.
Yes.
I want to think duel, like in a
but a pair
fight.
Of aces, right?
Isn't we do that... have a pair of aces.
There we go.
So we do have a duel.
We got a winning hand.
And
what's better, to have like three of a kind or a pair of aces?
I appreciate the dual meaning.
That's a
in that
baseball
reference.
In baseball, I think the pair of aces is more preferred.
There you go.
But this is Michael Kopech needing to show that he is better than Ohtani. And you know, Shohei Ohtani needs to show that he can still pitch well enough to beat the White Sox after they scored 11 runs yesterday and everybody in the lineup, well, seven of the guys in the lineup had three hits each.
It's odd to say that Ohtani is going to try to cool down the White Sox because
yeah, that's ridiculous.
That implies the White Sox got hot last night, and it doesn't happen often, but it did last night. 2 5-run innings. That's the fun part, is that when you talk about an offensive explosion, if you will, 2 5-run innings, they scored runs in bunches. They hit the long ball. Luis Robert, that ball traveled, I think, 480 feet.
Woof.
And it was a bomb. Josh Harrison with a big homer. He has been hitting well in the month of June. You got to give him credit because we were ripping him when he was bad. He has had a very productive month when healthy, and maybe allayed some of the concerns about that position for some people. I don't think everyone, but Josh Harrison does deserve a little bit of credit here.
I'm not giving him credit, but I would like to point out yet again that anybody that was criticizing him was doing so because of his performance over the first months of the season. So it's great he's had a week or two. It's great he's having a good June. But let's not forget that, you know, it's still a reason that people were criticizing him. So Ohtani is 6-4 with a 2.90 ERA. He has 90 strikeouts. He's good. And you have, but he's not Dylan Cease good. And you have Michael Kopech, 2-4, 2.59 ERA with 57 strikeouts. So I think today's game, I think it's fair to expect the White Sox to win 2.9 to 2.5.
Okay.
No?
Give
or
take.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
That's
a lot of swing and misses.
There's
going to be a lot of missed bats tonight.
You know, it'd be nice to get him out of there early, but when he's out of there, it's time to take advantage of it, right? And there is nobody on the White Sox right now that has, like, big numbers against Shohei Ohtani. Brandon Marsh has faced Michael Kopech once, and he has gotten a hit in an RBI. It was a home run. So in one at bat, he has one home run, a solo shot, and that's the only guy that has any kind of success against Michael Kopech, and it was just one particular.
And I stand corrected. It wasn't, I don't want to exaggerate the distance of the Luis Robert home run. It wasn't 484. It was 448.
Oh,
so
it's that's totally different.
And 48.
That's garbage.
It's garbage. But it did travel out of the park at a exit velocity, 110.8 miles per hour. Yes. So a lot of things happened last night that were positive. The one thing I think, if you look at it from a White Sox perspective, that was maybe the most pleasant sight was Yoan Moncada swinging the bat as well as he did last night, getting a couple hits and an extra base hit from the left side, which I think is what he offers the Sox the most, what they miss when he's gone, is that you need, because of the imbalance of their lineup, you need that threat from the left side of the plate, and he gave it to him last night. And hopefully he can stay on the field and in the lineup, because that's a problem. And him jogging to first base reminded you just how tenuous the situation is, because you worry about him re-aggravating whatever hamstring is ailing him now.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that he's reinstated, and it's great that he was out there. And, you know, and I'm being serious about this. He had a pretty good game before he went out this time. He had a five-hit game or something. Remember, he had a five RBI game, I guess. So, you know, look, the White Sox, and I'm not getting upset about it or anything, but they did go 0 for 3 with the bases loaded last night. It was another game where they had opportunities to, I mean, 11 runs a night, I'll take it. Let's go. Two five-run innings tonight should just about do it.
I don't know
if there is carryover, however. I think we have waited a long time, and we have tried several different times to imagine that this is the turning point, that now the bats are awakened. Oh, the, you know, beware China, the sleeping giant is coming out. I don't know that that's happened. And I think it's nice that you had a win, and it's nice that you scored runs, and it's really nice that you were down 3-0 and you came back and won the game. And you did it fairly easily.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I don't know that there's carryover tonight.
I don't think you can say that. I don't think you can expect that, because the White Sox have fooled us before when we think that they have reached that point where you hit reset and then now they're going to carry momentum. And they have disproven that theory that momentum exists in baseball, because I think with this White Sox team, you just never know. And you think tonight they've got a pretty good shot because of Kopech, and it's an opportunity to take a series. They just need to win series and start doing that, and then go into San Francisco with a little bit of a boost. But, yeah, I'm not sure what to expect from the White Sox tonight. It's just going to be fun to watch. We have, you know, the White Sox in California, Ohtani and Kopech, and then at Wrigley Field, Hunter Green on the mound against Justin Steele. That is going to be a nice appetizer as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And you know, again, I think that it's going to be a difficult pitcher's matchup, and hopefully hopefully Michael Kopech can match whatever Shohei Ohtani is doing. And I'd like to see Kopech have a good outing, and I would like to see Ohtani have to leave fairly early. It'd be great if you could get to the guy, and it would be great if you could limit the innings that he has. But at some point, he will leave the game, and at some point you need to do some damage. So if the guy's having a great outing, that doesn't mean, you know, feel free to come back from three runs down if that happens again. I would prefer it didn't happen, and I would prefer that they are getting some stuff done. But I think it's going to be a very difficult matchup tonight. You want to win a series. You need to win a series. Period, end of story.
The reports after the game from WhiteSox.com and I think in the Tribune from LeMond Pope were that it was somewhat raucous in the clubhouse. There was they awarded the pitcher of the game and the player of the game, and Johnny Cueto got rewarded. Do you think that goes on? They don't have it's not like club dub after every game. I mean, they're not club dubbing every game.
Yeah, I hope not.
Why do you think
idea.
It was?
I don't know. Maybe they were excited to win. They haven't won. You know, what was it, a three-game losing streak? I get confused because they had such a terrible series against Baltimore. They've played so poorly at home. You go on the road and you lose to those guys, and then you come back and win. And they lost 4-3. It wasn't an embarrassment, but it was bad. And you know, again, there are a lot of issues that go on within a ball club. I thought the idea that Johnny Cueto, Johnny Picasso, as Ozzie nicknamed him, was coming in and saying, hey, the ball's flying out. He wasn't saying, I'm sorry I gave up three solo homers. No. He was saying, hey, boys, go get some yourself. And Stoney at one point did say, you know, don't stop now, boys. He quoted Hawk because they were finally getting some runs and putting together a couple of innings. It was fun to see.
Yeah, and I think Johnny Cueto essentially was basically, without saying it, he was saying, how about some run support this time? How about, you know, giving me something to work with? Because he has started 9 games, 6 quality starts in those 9 games. He has been a revelation, but he hasn't gotten a lot of run support in his outings. And I think that's been the big thing that changed last night. So it was nice to see him being picked up by his teammates, because that's not something that he has dealt with a lot this season.
You know, I'll tell you something else. Sebi Zavala had a good game, and he's playing probably better than I thought he would. I know he had been hitting better in the minor leagues, but he was good. I mean, he nearly got picked off second again. He tripped on second,
like,
and I cursed, but
but
he didn't. So God bless him. So you know, they're getting contributions from different people. They really need to start winning series, and that is going to be so important for them. You know, we talked about the Giants are next, then they come home and it's the Twins, and then it's the 4 games at home against the Detroit Tigers, and then they've got 4 games at Cleveland, including a doubleheader. And I would think going into the All-Star break, if they're going to make a move, they're going to have to make it before the All-Star break. They come out of the All-Star break and I think it's back with the Indians and the Twins. I haven't really searched much ahead. But the point is that, you know, it's time. If you're going to get involved in this thing, you got to inch ever closer to 500. And you can't just throw your hands up and say, well, you know, Ohtani's Babe Ruth, so what the hell are you going to do? The guy's going to pitch and hit a homer and we can't possibly compete. You got to figure out a way to beat a guy because you lost the first game in the series and you got to win series.
That's a good way to look at it. Just to close the thought on Cueto, you know, in 3 of the losses, the Sox scored 2 runs. So right. He has not been getting a lot of support. And to your point about the division, as things get tougher once they get back from California in this road trip, I don't know how I feel about them looking at this as kind of flipping the script from last season. And I don't know if I buy into that yet, because it seems like a too easy of a way to rationalize what's happened to this point. And I think last year you didn't want to believe that, you know, every time it came up was how good are the Sox? You know, they're dominating their division, and they started out so well, and then they ended up so poorly and so average. I don't know.
Listen.
I don't know if this team is capable of doing what they need to do to even get to the point where they're at last year's victory total in the second half. They would have to, like, go crazy on winning streaks that I just don't think this team is deep enough to do.
Give me bum slayers. I'll take bum slaying. If that's what we're talking about with the White Sox, if it means that they're not great against the great teams, but, man, do they beat the crap out of Detroit. Win all 4 of those games at home. Go ahead and win a series against the Twins.
I agree, but
win a series against the
You weren't
the
saying
Indians.
That last year. Sox fans weren't saying that last year.
No, but
that's how bad it's gotten.
But it's gotten seriously bad, David.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
It's
because
really bad.
That's a difference in this season and last, because a year ago at this time, the bum slayers were not being celebrated
or
welcomed.
I hope the Twins turn into bums, and I hope the Guardians turn into bums, and I hope the Sox are slaying bums, because that's how they're going to make it to the playoffs, by winning in the division. And, you know, look, they're in a situation now, as we said, they're still 3 games under 500. They're 6 games back. You just got to win series. Start stacking wins in series, and you will start inching closer and closer. And then when you're playing the series against these teams, you got to make hay.
And as hot as Carlos Correa is and all that he means to the Twins, Looking a little bit deeper at the two teams as we kind of get ready for the Sox to get into the meat of the division here coming up, I'm not so sure that I fear the Twins if I were the White Sox as much as maybe the Guardians because of the pitching. And how complete of a team that is and how well managed they are. I don't know if that sounds...
David, is Aloy coming back? Is Aloy going to be ready to come back? He's got like three singles or four singles or something. He went 0 for 4 yesterday again. That is a bad team, that Charlotte Knights team. I don't know if that affects anybody, but he looked, some of the video I saw, he looked very uncomfortable at bat.
Well, get him comfortable. Do what you need to do. Make him DH. Make him the bat him sixth and put him in the White Sox lineup. Let him see how pitchers approach him after a layoff, but also with he's protected in the lineup more than he will be against AAA. Pitching. I don't know if he's all it would have to be hard to be as invested emotionally, mentally in a rehab start or stint as it would be if you're, you know, with the White Sox, with your team in a familiar, comfortable environment. I say bring him back. And I know he looked pretty bad based on the Twitter video that we saw and the numbers that aren't very impressive, but
Where's Grandal? Do you have any update?
I have no idea about Grandal.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm more interested in seeing Aloy. Yeah. I want to see Aloy first.
Well, I want to see their team. Is that asking so much? It would be nice if they got their team together.
I don't know how realistic that is.
Okay.
And that, for a while, Grandal, when is he coming back? And you fear that just when Grandal comes back or Aloy joins him, then that's when Moncada is going to be reaching for the back of his leg and somebody else is going to tweak this or pull that. I don't know. They haven't been able to stay healthy. You talk about the Bulls and the health. How about the White Sox? They haven't been at full strength either, and you wonder if they ever will be.
It's the 29th of June today, which means tomorrow's the 30th, which means Friday's the 1st. Isn't that when we heard that our favorite Australian was coming back, Liam Hendricks going to pitch on the 30th? The 1st?
I would not rush him back. Okay. Of all of the three guys that we just talked about being out, as much as I am worried about him and I put him at the top of my list of concerns, and that is why you need to be the most deliberate with his return.
312-644-6767. Are we fishing for any kind of good news with this team? Does one game turn around a season? We've heard that so many times. I'm so exhausted from the idea of hope. Is there any? 312-644-6767, Mullenhall on the Score.
The Score celebrates 30 years of Chicago sports radio.
Why did it appear that Mike was trying not to cry like the baby that he is?
Well, Neil, I tell you what you are, I can't say on the air. But I tell you what, I'm 53 years old, and my office is at 250 North Washington. Anytime you want to meet me there, you call me back on the air. You tell me what time and when, and I'll whip your ass.
Whether you're a day one listener or a brand new listener on the Odyssey app, a big thanks to all of you. From all of us, Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Trying barely.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What a beat that is. My God.
Well, the White Sox are being very careful with their players, and they should be.
Are they still Dre? There's still something. Yeah, they're being careful.
They're being careful. Although I did see, in fairness, a clip from Eloy Jimenez at Charlotte, infield single, infield dribbler. He was running very hard to first base. So he's going to have to correct that before he can get back to Chicago. Maybe that's part of the process in being so deliberate with his promotion. He's exerting way too much effort right now to be with the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean,
he's going to have to tone that down from 95% to at least 75% before he's put back into the lineup. I mean, that's way too much hustle, Eloy. You need to tone it down. A little more casual in your approach, please.
Yeah, I mean, listen. There is very little hope going on with this team. I think that when you look at, you know, whether or not Adam Haseley can join them tonight, that just underscores where you're at. That you're, you know, you're just not where you need to be. And by the way, Tony said yesterday that that Liam Hendricks is their hope that he can return for the next homestand. That he felt good after that bullpen. He's going to have another one in San Francisco, and then, you know, they hope to unveil him for the Twins
after the July 4th holiday. Yeah. Perhaps that will be the time. I will try to cheer you up there, Mully. I think though you got to look at last night. Is every time this happens, you're cautious against overstating its significance, but you do not want to pass up an opportunity to enjoy what you just saw. You don't want to pass up an opportunity. If you're the White Sox, you got to look at it as a potential turning point. You have the home runs that were missing. They were there. You have the consistent offensive contributions throughout the lineup, where the only regulars, the only starters who didn't have multiple hits were Andrew Vaughn, who's going to hit, and Gavin Sheets, who has been hot. So you have a lot to look at. If you're a hitter that was struggling, if you're a team that was scuffling, you look at last night as, okay, you want to try to build off that. So I do think there's more reason for hope than just like, boy, something bad is going to happen, because that's the way it typically goes.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and that's fair, and that is a good way to look at it, but I think it's also difficult for any Sox fan to feel an overwhelming amount of hope given the way this thing has gone. And it, the way it's gone, just in case you're wondering, is that every time you feel like there's a chance to take a step forward, they take a step back.
Yes.
Now, whether that is through performance, through injury, through bad managerial decision, all of those things come into play. But you know, if the Sox want to, if they want to reel off 10 in a row, okay, I'm on board.
Let's go ahead.
Go
Go do
it. But I haven't seen hint of that.
I think what you're doing is you are preparing yourself for that moment tonight when you fear that Michael Kopech's going to step off the mound, take the ball, and just try to throw it into the ground.
Jeez. Boy, that was horrible to watch, wasn't it?
That was still like the flashpoint, right?
It's still a miracle that he's still pitching.
It is. It's like that is the enduring symbol of the first 70 games or so, or whatever, wherever we are in the season.
Good God.
Because of how frustrating everything is. And just when you do think you're taking one step forward, you take two steps back.
312-644-6767. Let's try Walt. Walt is in Roselle. Hi, Walt.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, this is a first-time caller for your show, but a long-time listener. So I have a lot of negative points. I'm just going to give you maybe three of them. First of all, the White Sox are who we didn't think they were. I'm convinced of that, right? So you have a team who really don't have any star players. You have a Tim Anderson who's a good player on a great team, and he's a good player, right? But you don't have any really superstars or real stars on that team. If you go back, there's one guy, and I'm going to just end it here. If you go back to Brian Cox on the Bears, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy came into the locker room and said, go to the Wizard, get some heart. That's what this team needs to do. They have no heart. They're one of the dumbest teams in all of baseball. And so I'm going to leave it there. I told you I had really, really negative comments, but I'm a longtime Sox fan. I've been watching them, and that's my conclusion. So you guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks
for
Walt.
The phone call.
Yeah.
I would dispute that a little bit. I think that if you're talking about superstars in the game, one of the top 5 or 10 players, this year the White Sox don't have any of those. But I do think that when you talk about overall talent, Luis Robert has superstar potential. That's a loaded word. He does have, you know, he is a guy with all of those tools. I think Tim Anderson is a great player. I think he's great at what he does. He's a great hitter. He does something. He does one element of his game with greatness. So I do think he's better than he was just described as. And the White Sox do have a collection of guys who are all-star caliber when healthy. So as far as the dumb aspect of it, they are a dumb baseball team.
Did I not see Tim make an error in the ninth inning last night? The game was over and he was side-arming it, but he did make an error.
He's not a great defensive shortstop.
When the manager tells you to, you know, take it easy, guys. Don't hurt yourself. And you saw that from Yoan Moncada. He ground out and had an RBI in the play, but he realized it was a ground out and he wasn't going to challenge that.
Why run?
Right.
The Cubs used to respect 90. The White Sox respect 65.
Yeah, there you go. 65 at the 90.
Okay.
Run for 65.
That's about it.
60. Yeah.
And so I think when you play that way, and that is by design, right? Okay, that's by the direction of the manager. Of course, you're going to leave the impression on fans, like we just heard from, that you have no heart. I think that's the worst thing you can say about a professional athlete. I don't think it applies to the Chicago White Sox. I think that a guy like Jose Abreu epitomizes the kind of heart that you want with everybody in your clubhouse.
Yeah.
Lance Lynn, you can't tell me he doesn't have any heart when he pitches. Liam Hendricks, there are too many examples of guys whose heart, if you will, is obvious for me to say, make a blanket statement like that. So I'm not ready to go there. I just think that they have a lot of issues that are magnified because I don't think it's the right fit between manager and team and personnel, and they have injuries that make those weaknesses more obvious.
Tony was asked about Sosa, what kind of impression he made on him, Lenin Sosa, and he said, I think beyond decent, I watched everything about him. That double play yesterday, that spin, the accurate throw, I've seen guys more experienced have trouble with that play. He started rolling balls over toward the end. He was hunting hits. Get back on his stroke, and he will. I mean, why do you think he was pressing? Because his manager didn't play him initially and then told him he had 2 days to live. I mean, you know, the guy had to do something or he was gone. It was, I'm just saying.
And you mean figuratively to live. Okay.
Yes, to live with the White Sox. Just saying.
Well, you're right. You're exactly right.
Was there any effort made to develop him, to work with him, to encourage him?
Well, that's what I mean. In terms of fit, the fit goes beyond just 9 innings at a time. It's the fit with where this is organizationally. And organizationally, there was a disconnect here. Lenin Sosa came to Chicago, and then he sat until Tony La Russa decided it was time to play. This was an example of how not to manage a prospect.
Right.
This was a textbook example of what happens when you mismanage a prospect's first stint as a major leaguer. Lenin Sosa led off on Saturday, didn't get a hit.
Yes.
But any momentum he might have had, if you believe in that stuff, any kind of opportunity to take advantage of the confidence he might have built up at Double A and then to get promoted to the majors was stalled by his deliberate ascension into the lineup. That's on the manager.
Yeah, I don't think he covered himself in glory there, but I don't think he wanted to. And I think that he's happy, really happy, that Josh Harrison had a good game and it somehow speaks to Tony's understanding of what veteran players, how you have to stay with them, et cetera. I think that he's probably is the only guy, including Leury Garcia, that feels like Leary's doing enough and is going to be okay. Leary said that he stinks. And you know what? It's accurate. So I just, no offense to anyone, but I think, you know, Tony, I don't know. We have a texter who checks in who says he's misinterpreted the Eberflus loaf theory. He is encouraging it rather than trying to prohibit it.
It's the exact opposite approach.
Exactly, exactly.
And I get why. There are a lot of players that are suffering or maybe one overstep away from pulling something. And this is something we haven't really talked about because it's just when Rick Hahn pushes back at the idea that the Sox are injury prone, how else would you describe a team who's being encouraged by the manager not to go so hard so they don't injure themselves?
Right. Everybody's got sore legs.
Why else would he do that if we're not a team that is injury prone? I know he was talking specifically about Eloy Jimenez, but there are too many examples of guys who are just on the verge of running the first base and landing on the injured list.
And we have a texter saying you got to give guys a proper spring training. Okay, but does that include the manager? Should the mistakes and the level of mistakes that have been made by the White Sox, I really thought they had addressed this. I thought that was supposed to stop. And, again, we've seen some teams play good defense, and we haven't seen a ton of that from the White Sox. Seems like they have their difficulty in playing good defense on a consistent basis. And, part of it is guys in and out of the lineup. I understand that. Part of it is relying too much upon people that don't belong in the position they're in because they were supposed to be kind of a replacement guy, not a guy you rely on. There's been a lot of problems with the White Sox. But, I'm holding my opinion until I see something happen before the All-Star break. I have a very doubtful concern that is not going to be what happens here.
They're not going to get better defensively when Eloy comes back. They're going to get worse. They get better in the infield when Moncada plays third base, but they still will have some liabilities and people out of position. I do think that A.J. Pollock will help that a little bit. Adam Engel's return. What's his status anyway? When does he come back?
No
idea. You talk about Grandal.
I do not know.
Is he down for 10? And I guess Haseley would be going back when Engel returns. A lot of issues, a lot of things. But tonight, Kopech, Ohtani, that's going to be
Fun.
Worth staying up for if you are debating on whether or not, take a nap. Take a nap so you can stay up late tonight.
Let's squeeze in Bill. He's in Arlington Heights. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, fellas?
Good.
Hey, for the last couple of days, actually a couple of weeks, you guys seem to be spending so much time on lambasting Tony La Russa. Do I think he's doing a great job? No, I don't. But at the end of the day, it's the players on the field that are falling short. Okay?
That's fair.
Do know that the White Sox have been riddled with injuries, right?
Yeah, they're loaded with excuses, Bill. Is that what you're saying?
But you guys seem to just want to emphasize the woes of the White Sox on Tony La Russa.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's accurate, but I appreciate the call. I would say that Tony hasn't helped. How's that?
Tony has been a liability than an asset, and the Sox definitely lead the league in rationalization.
There you go. All right, we're going to bring in it's a Layla Wednesday, for Woo-hoo! God's sake. Come on. We've got Dan. We've got Lawrence, and we have Layla, and we'll talk to them next. Come on. It's an embarrassment of riches here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.